Please remain standing and turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, and we'll read verses 1 to 7. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except the Lord at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you have spoken to us, and we pray that you would come in the power of your spirit and that you would speak to us now, that we would hear the voice of the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, and hearing his voice, we would know him and follow him and offer ourselves to him promptly and sincerely, in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Please. Two droughts. What do you reckon King Ahab must have thought when this man, Elijah, seemingly came out of nowhere to tell him that it wouldn't rain unless he said so? Now, as we shall see, the Lord did not tell Elijah in his passage to hide himself because Ahab, or Jezebel, was mad enough to do him harm at this point. No, I doubt anyone took him seriously enough to be mad at him. Yet, I expect at this point they were just laughing at him. Who does this man think he is? He sounds like so many doomsday predictors. And the common man from the hills of Gilead. But look at verse 1 again. "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except word.'" There are two droughts threatened in this verse. Do you see both of them? One of the droughts will be devastating. It will be 3.5 years before a drop falls in Israel again. Now, we've seen some dry summers in our time. Have gone 30 days, maybe on some occasions closer to 60 days without rain at times. There have been bans on burning. It's been so dry. You sometimes hear on the news from the cities in a dry summer, there are municipal bans on watering lawns. But 3.5 years with no rain or dew at all is unimaginable. Everything would die. I don't know what the soil is like in the Holy Land, but that old clay we have with channels, that old bull talus swirling here and there, our houses would be long caved in. But it wouldn't make much difference because we'd have already been long dead of starvation. But that's not the worst drought in this passage. There's something worse even than that possibility. Let's look at the passage. First, in this passage, we see the emptiness of Baal. The emptiness of Baal. Look at verse 1 once again. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel is, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." It seems rather harsh, doesn't it? James 5:17 tells us that Elijah prayed fervently that it might not rain. Does it sound harsh? Do some of our readers exclaim, "What a terrible prayer. Prayer not to rain." Then we ask, was it not far more terrible that the favored descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob should despise and turn away from the Lord God and blatantly insult him by worshiping Baal? Would they desire God to ignore such enormous sin? Are his righteous laws to be trampled upon with impunity? Shall he refuse to penalty? And then he asked, what conception would men form of the divine character if he ignored their open defiance of himself? You see, if they completely forsook the Lord, trampled his word into the mud, and went after Baal, and the Lord did absolutely nothing about it, what would they think of God? No, as harsh as it may seem, Elijah prayed fervently for there to be no rain because it was in the best interest of the nation. The nation that had turned against God, Jehovah, and turn to Baal. Now, we saw in the previous message that God had clearly said in Deuteronomy 11 and 28 that if Israel forgot him and turned to other gods, he would cut off the rain. Those were the terms of being a nation in covenant with the true God. So Elijah wants the nation to know that God is real and his word is true. He does not make idle threats, only promises. I remember some years ago, Dr. Mark Ross wrote an article in ARP magazine in which he said, for generations, children have been told that good children get presents and poorly behaved children get a stocking full of coal for Christmas. But no child has ever taken their stocking down from the mantle on Christmas morning, no matter how bad they are. They've never reached into a stocking and pulled out coal. It's an empty threat. And Dr. Ross said, us seem to think that God is Santa Claus. He threatens cold, but it'll bring you presents. And Elijah wants these people to know that God is real and he is a God of his word. He threatens drought. He will shut off the rain. But there's another reason why Elijah prayed for no rain. It's not only to show that Jehovah is real and true, but he wants to show the emptiness or the non-existence of Baal. You remember that? They're all worshiping Baal. Ahab has married a Baalist from Syrophoenicia. He's built a temple, changed the state religion to the worship of Baal. Let me read you a line from ancient Canaanite mythology about Baal. Now Baal will begin the rainy season, the season of wadis and flood, and he will sound his voice in the clouds, flash his lightning to the earth. You see, they believed that rain came from Baal. And so not only did Elijah want to show that God was real, he wanted him to show that Baal was not. He was empty. One of the things we trust more than God in his place. No one believes in Baal today. Modern Baalism is fascinated with the natural processes of our weather patterns, but has no interest in the God who controls the weather patterns. Modern Baalism, man is the master of his own destiny. Modern Baalism believes that man is the product of natural processes. And God, if there is one, does not insert himself in the course of this world. Now that's modern mainstream Baalism. But that's mainstream about the ARP church. But Bible-believing Christians, we have our idols too. Some of us hope in the morning, and whether or not, this is not a good time to look at your pope. Or at least keep the worst ones out. Everything will probably get fixed. What devastation will the Lord have to bring in order to show us the emptiness of all gods but him? Look at the devastation coming down on this world right now. We see the emptiness of Baal. Secondly, in this passage, we see the judgment of Jehovah. The judgment of Jehovah. And we said there are two droughts in verse 1. Of course, the first is no rain. Look at verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. There was no rain. It happened. And this was right. Israel broke the covenant. Not every single person in the nation, but the overwhelming majority of the people embraced Baal. And the official stance of the government was Baalism. Again, let me read you what the law said. God's law, Deuteronomy 11. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. What would do? You turn to other gods, I'll cut off the rain. Well, they did it, and now he's done it. The nation is under judgment. Now, it's always hard to try to figure out what God is up to by following the weather and natural events in our time. There are always folk who try to say it's the end of the world every time there's an earthquake or a storm. I remember a hurricane some years ago. A certain well-known preacher suggested that it was a judgment against one of the places that it hit. Then not long after that, another hurricane hit near where he was and severely damaged his church facilities. You know, Jesus said when a disaster happened to his people, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that's the attitude we ought to take. But now here's the other drought in this passage. No word. See, at the end of verse 1, Elijah said, there will not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. What did Elijah say would bring rain? His word. Now we understand Elijah was a prophet. He said he stood in the presence of the God of Israel. He spoke God's word. And it was God's word through the prophet Elijah that would bring the blessing of rain. Now look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. You see, when the Lord told Elijah to leave, he's taken the word with him. Is gone. That's the other drought. God has not only shut up the heavens and taken away the rain, he's taken away his word. Prophet Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 says, behold, the days are coming, the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the greater judgment. When God takes away his word, he does it. He's taken his word away from nations, from churches. In Revelation 2:5, Jesus warned the church at Ephesus that they had forgotten their first love, and if they didn't repent, he would come and take the lampstand out of that church. What does that mean? I'll take the lampstand out of the church. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. he was threatening to pull his word out of the church at Ephesus. Jesus said that the one who has nothing, that is, who doesn't do anything with what he has been given, even what he has will be taken away. Now, this church was blessed to hear the word of God many, many years before I came. And I pray that I am not the judgment of God on Clover ARP Church. But you've had the word of God for a long time. What are we doing with the word? Blessed are they that hear the word of God, and not just hear it, but keep it. James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. You see, he can take it away if it's not appreciated. We see the emptiness of Baal, the judgment of Jehovah, and thirdly and finally, we see the blessing of Jehovah. Look at verse 4. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And we see that in the same areas that the nation was experiencing judgment, Elijah was experiencing blessing. First, in nature. The nation was under judgment in nature. There was no rain, which led to drought, which led to famine. The Lord continues to care for Elijah in the natural realm. Ravens brought him food. Ravens, by the way, were unclean in the Old Testament. God says, what kind of meat? I like this quote. What kind of meat would ravens bring? Don't ask. Simply cook it very well and eat up. Now again, just points out the point here is not the Lord. It's not that the Lord's going to take care of us just like he took care of Elijah. Think about this. Ralph Davis, he says, why don't I identify with the believing remnant within Israel, those folks who were clinging to Jehovah in spite of government policy, who suffered under the drought with the rest of Israel, and who never met a raven bearing food? What gives me the right to identify with the Lord's special agent rather than with the common people of God? God's prophet receives particular care, but God's people suffer the ravages and deprivation of the Lord's temporal judgment just as every Baal-kissing apostate did. Think about that. The Lord took care of Elijah, but there were true believers who suffered in the drought along with everyone else. Who do I think I am? But there is good news for us. Look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, look at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, the word of the Lord was still coming to Elijah. In the midst of the drought, it was still guiding Elijah, still providing for Elijah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is from out of the mouth of the Lord. Now let's be positive. We have much for which to be thankful. God has not taken His word away from us. What a blessing. Now, the point of this passage and this message, we have the Word of God. Not everyone does. Not every church has the Word of God. But we do. We're not in this drought, this famine. Maybe some of us are. Maybe some of us, eyes may be blind. Know the Word of God is right in front of you. You can't see it. And maybe some of us are believers, but dried up in our souls. No real interest for the Word of God. But the Lord says, you have a Bible. Of course, we must point out that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the ultimate communication from God, He became flesh that we might know Him. And this word, all of it, from Jesus. What a famine to read the scripture and not come to the Savior. The greatest drought of all is to miss Jesus, who is the wellspring of living water. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. In me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's an invitation straight from Jesus Christ to come and drink. Can you hear His voice in His Word? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.